started as a study of human aggression. It led to experiments on primates. But something went wrong. Christopher Atkins, two-time recipient of the National Association of Theater Owners Star of the Year Award. First for Blue Lagoon, now for Shakma. Also starring Amanda Wiss of Silverado and Nightmare on Elm Street. Ari Myers from TV's Kate and Ally, featuring Roddy McDowell as Professor Sorensen. And Shakma, shocking audiences everywhere.
All right, welcome to Mysterious Streams. If I got the technical aspect of this podcast right, you should have just heard the trailer for the 1990 film Shakma, 1990 horror film, about a group stuck in an apartment complex / college. Well, it looks like an apartment complex.
It looks like an apartment complex. It's supposed to be experimental lab / like college level, whatever.
/ animal research facility.
Yeah.
About a killer baboon named Shakma. And I think it's the best movie we've done so far.
Oh, hands down.
It's awesome. It's a movie I was actually legitimately excited for. The trailer is infamous. The trailer you just heard is very popular. I tried to find it, or some version of it, for a movie night we were having with friends, but I couldn't find a copy of it anywhere. It was like over $30 on Amazon.com just for the DVD. And it just made it very, very... Can you do me a favor and shut off the Xbox? We have the Kinect installed on the Xbox, which is fine, except it'll pick up our voice commands, and it'll just think we're... more active than we actually are.
Yet for some reason it wants us to play games.
No, it makes compelling radio. So anyway, back to Shakma.
Which evidently our Xbox thinks is James and the Giant Peach.
So that's the movie we'll be discussing on this episode again of Mysterious Streams, your number one podcast for everything weird, strange, bizarre, and awful offered on movie streaming services, although it's been primarily Netflix so far, and it looks like it will be for the near future. I am your host, Nicholas Peterson.
Mary Peterson.
And I'm the friend, Timothy Bates.
Yep, we're joined by our friend, Tim. He was in the first episode we did when we discussed GOG.
Yeah.
And you can find us on our home website at thecriticsword.com. You can also find and please rate us on iTunes. And if none of those things make you happy, you can also find us at podmatic.com. So there's all the places you can find us. Please rate us, like us, friend us. We need the attention so very badly. So Chakma opens our second movie that's opened up with...
Monkey Experimentations!
The first Gog had a monkey that had been frozen and woke up and clapped. This monkey's not as happy as the Gog monkey.
Oh, that Gog monkey.
Now, maybe I missed something, but they're doing stuff with his brain.
They injected him with some kind of, like, chromosome thing, is yes. that what it was? Mm-hmm. Something messing with his chromosomes running in his dome.
Well, the experiment fails.
Obviously.
Unless they
were wanting to make murderous monkeys.
Unless their thesis was, if opening up a monkey's skull and poking its brain turns it into a crazy thing. Then it's a resounding success. But it fails in this experiment. The monkey is actually tied down. Well, it looks like it's tied bound by ribbons. It was very, very sick. Wasn't very held down.
Obviously, these people didn't do their research.
It woke up. It scratched a research assistant. It scared all the other monkeys that are stacked in all the other cages, and it's just being a pain in the ass. So it's.
Although it does seem really calm with that little stuffed monkey it had that it kept cuddling.
Yeah, I think it was trying to make a point. I don't know what.
Well, from what I got from the movie, it was explained that they're adding a chromosome or something to make these creatures more docile, more acceptable, and through that, I guess through this Mr. Magoo like situation, they startled the monkey or the whatever it is, baboon, and then the person who was closest to the baboon hit the alarm and pissed off the monkey itself and freaked out, and that's when the main scientist or the main lab manager came in and was saying that then they have to get rid of it or something because of the...
They're going to burn the monkey!
Now, the main manager, probably the biggest actor in this thing, is played by a famous character actor, Rodney McDowell, and kind of slumming it a little bit in Chakma. But, he does a decent job. And so the monkey's scheduled for termination, and through pure laziness, they decide to wait a day.
We'll just give it another day.
Yeah, we'll.
I'm too tired of this.
They literally have it at the gates of the crematorium. They're gonna push it into the fire.
Because the whole movie also it's they're staying after to play.
Well, yeah, we're gonna get to that.
I think it's funny. Wasn't that the reason why they put it off? Is because they wanted to play the game.
So the reason, the conceit that all these college kids and friends are running around this laboratory after dark is they're going to play some weird live version of Dungeons and Dragons, where Roddy McDowell sits in his office with a walkie-talkie, and there's clues and keys and all
scrolls
all these people have walkie-talkies, and so...
Isn't there also some kind of damsel in distress?
There's a damsel in distress, there's a monster, they're playing a competitive game of Dungeons and Dragons that's gonna get one of them $500. Like, there's actual money on the line. But instead of sitting around a board game rolling dice, they're actually going room to room in this building, and they'll getting clues and try to figure stuff out in order to save the princess.
Who literally looks like she's 14.
I think she's like 19, 20.
But she looks like she's 14.
She's crushing pretty hard on the main guy.
Yeah, who's a complete dick, by the way.
We'll get to him in a second. So that's why everyone is hanging out, which I actually thought was kind of cool. Once I figured out what they were doing, at first I was confused on why $500 was on the line in a Dungeons & Dragons game. But once I figured out the competition aspect of playing a very strange version of Dungeons & Dragons plus Capture the Flag plus Scavenger Hunt, then it all kind of clicked in. I actually wouldn't have minded a little bit longer with the game. You didn't really get to see much of it.
I'll give it this. It started in with the action right away. There was no, like, build-up to, like, oh my gosh, it's this crazy monkey.
So the game is continuing, and one of the guys, like, I don't know what... How did they get the guy that plays the monster? There's an actual guy with a rubber mask who's supposed to be the menacing monster. He doesn't want to be there. He has a date to go on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so he's like literally telling his girlfriend or whatever she is, like, I gotta play this stupid game with these idiots, so just come back in like 3 hours and I'll be here.
And that's when our main hero cock blocks him by saying, nah, dog, this game's gonna take till the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
Snap. And then the girlfriend's not amused.
Not at all, which I don't think is entirely unreasonable.
Well, so that's our cast of characters. You have the professor and just one blonde kid, as you said, is a dick. The main hero, I guess, we're supposed to root for, but everyone else.
Sam. He's such a dick.
Yeah, Sam is a dick. Everyone else is just very generic. There's the girl, the black guy, the guy who plays the monster. I don't remember their name.
The monster's a little sister who is their damsel in distress.
Yeah, the little sister, and then a bunch of people that don't have really a lot to say or do
with anything, really.
Yeah, they're very generic cast of characters. Yeah. You think for a Killer Monkey movie, there might be some more fun stereotypes to be had, like the jerk or the jock, or anything.
Although, Sam could be the jerk.
Sam was kind of the jock, but I think they were honestly trying to make him the hero. I didn't really get any sense that we were supposed to think he was a jerk. I just thought he was a jerk. For a cock blocking that poor guy for no reason, and for...
Wasn't he trying to get in some chick's pants to, like, throw her off the game or something? Or did I completely misconstrue?
No, he probably was. I thought he was an ass. I called him my nemesis. I said, Sam, you are my personal nemesis in this movie.
I did think, though, how funny it was at the beginning that they kind of, like you said, try to build him up as this hero. Because I think, if I'm remembering right, one of the characters, he's upset about what's being done to Shakma, to the monkey. And one of his friends or whatever is like, oh man, you're way too soft. You're gonna have to toughen up if you want to be a doctor.
Oh, so there was
that, yeah. So it's like they try to play him up to be like this sympathetic, this like very sentimental guy, and just over the course of the movie, he's just like, "Wow, dude, you're kind of a dick. You've got way too much of a temper. You have this habit of shoving people around if they don't listen to you the first time." So
very quickly into this game, Bradley, one of the characters who...
Who was the monster, I think. No. The monster was somebody else. Sorry. No.
Bradley, who's the only characteristic, he's just kind of creepy. He kind of has this lisp or a very, like, way of talking. Like, they're all radioing to the professor, being like, Professor...
Game master. This is so-and-so on this level. I would like permission to go to this one, like...
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, like, very, you have to ask everything. I've never played,
so he talks like this. He's like, Game master, I'm at the door. What do I do? And it's all very strange. But Shakma wakes up almost as soon as this game starts and eats all the other monkeys or kills all the other monkeys. And he's then on the rampage.
If somebody had been poking around in my head, I'd probably be on a rampage, too.
Yeah, Shakma's pissed. and we were thinking, we didn't know at first if it was a puppet or a Muppet or a...
Maybe just a little person in a costume.
A little person in a suit. But we all came to the conclusion, and you looked it up. This is a real baboon.
Yeah, this is a real baboon. Ironically enough, not a Shakma baboon, which I was unaware was an actual species of baboon.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess they were saying it was like the largest species of baboon, and this is one that's like a step below that, but it had like this huge mane of hair. It literally looked like a giant tribble with legs.
Shakma was a pretty frightening little creature. So Shakma's on the rampage, he takes out Bradley right away. The poor guy who's just there for extra credit or something, playing the monster, he
wants his game to go by as soon as possible. So Bradley literally goes into the room where he's supposed to be at. His deal is I don't know if he's supposed to scare them or he's supposed to hinder them in some way from getting any further into the game. And this fool's literally like, well, I'm going to hide under the table with this mask in my hand and just kind of creepily watch this guy go by with a grin on my face.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play the game at all. But when Shakma comes from hit for his soul, he hides in a closet and gets a glass of acid out to pour on the monkey, but then the monkey just knocks the acid right back in his face. poor Richard, death by acid and Shakma. Not only did he get eaten by a monkey, he had his whole face eaten off by acid.
And as if that wasn't an undignified death as it is, freaking what's his name? The game master. What was his name again?
Roddy McDowell.
Yeah, Roddy McDowell. He literally finds this guy's body and is like putting his fingers in like every crevice in his chest.
Now, this is our main complaint with the game, or with the movie, is it's an hour and 45 minutes long. It probably easily could have been a half hour shorter. They do a lot of padding in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going to get rocking and rolling because Shockman gets out, he kills three people. But then a lot... Then we just move into a segment of the film with a lot of Shockman chasing people. Going,
which was creepy at first, but as you go on in the film, it just gets boring.
They're running up and down hallways, or they're trying to barricade themselves. You know, we said last time, if you want to play a drinking game, take a shot every time the kid from Twilight gets tased. Well, in this movie, try to take a shot...
Every time Shockman jumps off a wall or...
No, well, every time Shockman runs up against a door. And someone's trying to... That's about 30 minutes of the movie is people pressing against doors.
Or somehow trying to, like, barricade it and it just...
No, they never barricade. They just, yeah.
Didn't Sam barricade the door with a freaking mop, though, at one point?
He used the mop and he also used a dead man's foot as a door jam.
I missed that part.
So there is a extremely long segment where you're just kind of like, oh, Lord, what is going on?
Very drawn out.
Very drawn out. Not a lot done by the humans to even indicate they even want to be alive. Which we are laughing at because it doesn't seem that hard to outsmart this monkey. I don't know what compels...
Monkeys are clever, but they're not that clever.
Well, yeah, and honest. It's not like they're stuck in an abandoned mansion in the middle of nowhere. They're in the middle of the city. We forgot to mention that for the purpose of the game, they shut down all the phones and they locked all the doors so they can play their D&D in peace. Which seems to be like a fire hazard, but what do I know?
Not only that, but this is literally after business hours. Who is going to come calling at that time? And they're already closed that they need to take these extra precautions of just, oh, going to shut down, power down everything.
It's a lot. Well, they wanted to have things look like caves, and they decorate rooms. And
which is all well and good, but turn off the lights, man. You don't want to power down the entire building.
Well, they could have easily just holed up somewhere and waited, which would have, granted, would have made a boring film. So they just wander around. They get chased by Shockma. Shockma chases them. Everyone's having a great time.
It was pretty awesome watching this huge ball of fur just jump up in somebody's face, though.
It's pretty incredible to see Shockma run at anything and jump from things, despite it happens a lot.
It is pretty awesome. Although that one blonde chick's death scene was pretty hilarious to me. Of all the places to die, in a bathroom stall trying to escape through a vent.
Amanda Wise's character.
Yeah.
Amanda Wise, who that was the chick from
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. You might remember her from the first Nightmare on Elm Street. She was one of the girls.
I think I was reading her IMDb page, and I think it was, they said like she was like Freddy's first victim in the movie.
Okay, so
if
one,
I remember right, I
from the opening credits, like the opening when Freddy is looking very creepy. That's a creepy movie, but eventually everyone dies, but Sam, which I felt ironic because I hated Sam the moment I see him.
He was the one we wanted to die the most.
One of the reasons before everyone dies, except Sam, one of the ways they pad out the movie is, there's always that scene in a horror film where someone dies and they find their body and they, you know, oh my god, I can't believe so and so is dead. Everyone takes turns finding everyone else's body. So there'll be a body in a room and there'll be three separate scenes with three separate characters finding their body and being like, oh my god, what has happened?
Oh, that was the freaking worst. If literally, I like to think that I, in that situation, would be like, nope, dude, if we split up, this freaking monkey's going to pick us off one by one. We just need to stick together. Power and numbers.
No, one makes it out alive. Sam finds the damsel in distress, the little sister, and even somehow convinced, and then she's running around, and she gets herself killed.
Yeah, because she's retarded.
So after everyone's dead except Sam, and Sam starts, he picks up bodies and moves them around for reasons I wasn't quite sure.
What was the purpose of that? It's like, Sam, you're not going to do any good for these people moving them around, right? And anyway, the police are going to come eventually, and you're literally just fucking up the entire crime scene by moving these bodies around.
I don't know if it's a crime scene if an animal's involved.
But still, they've still got to do some kind of, like, protocol for this kind of thing. You're
so
fucking up with everything.
After a huge, long, drawn-out scene where sequence of events where Shockman pretty much kills everyone except Sam, we finally get to what I would call the heat of the meat, where Sam's had enough. He picks up a weapon, which is the first time anyone's done anything to indicate they want to fight Shockma.
correction, that little girl did, because she's like, oh, wait, let me go grab the knives from the break room, and here, we'll get them with this. Although, granted, neither one of them use it until the very end, but okay, she at least had that thought of, we should get a knife or something against this thing.
But to interject real quickly, she actually used the knives to throw at the window.
At
Guido's girlfriend's car, who she was outside the entire time, pissed off that her boyfriend was playing this game, and the princess was trying to throw knives out the window to try to get the Guido's girlfriend to see,
to try to get her attention, to be like, "Help us!" Even though we shut down the entire power to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, Sam is on the offensive. He gets a bat. He gets some weapons. He's going to take on Shock by Mano. Apo, and they get in a tussle where actually Sam comes out ahead. He gets bit, but he stabs Shockma, stares Shockma down, screams at Shockma, and Shockma just kind of goes, "Ah, forget it.
They're not even worth it."
And just goes wandering away, which leads Sam to his second, somewhat clever, probably one of the best parts of the movie, where his final attack against Shockma. He goes into a room. And Shockma sees him and goes to lunge at him. What Sam did was he placed a mirror
In front of the incinerator door.
So Shockma goes through the mirror into the incinerator, and Sam closes the incinerator and burns Shockma alive.
That was killing, pretty brilliant. I'll give Sam that. For being a dickhead.
For being a jerk, he wasn't that bad, I guess, in the end. But then he just kind
of... Although it took him for... ever to think of something like that. Like we say, granted, it would have been a very short movie had they gone about this in any kind of logical manner. Easily could have cut out a half hour at the end of this movie. Easily, and still ended it with that way.
Like I said, I've seen enough of these cult movies that understand what they are and have their length, you know, 70 minutes, 80 minutes, 90 minutes top. But when you go into the hour and 40 minute mark, you've made some mistakes in the editing room, and this movie certainly shows it. And so that's it. And then Sam wanders off and just collapses. What does he say before?
Collapses in front of the stuffed monkey and utters the most epic of last words for this idiotic character. "I win.
Yeah,
I win." Just repeated over as he dies, staring at the stuffed monkey.
Rosebud. it's certainly an epic fate for Sam, and I think this is going to be a short podcast, and it's not because we hated this movie, it's because...
It was actually so much better than the previous two movies.
But it's just very simple.
Straightforward, there was no, like, any kind of good twist, there was no, oh man.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be awesome.
You can almost, if we had to describe it in just 30 seconds, is monkey escapes.
Kills everybody.
Monkey kills a lot of people, monkey gets burned alive.
Make it a drinking game.
Yeah.
I do like, though, that the monkey ended up getting incinerated early anyway.
Yeah, he was supposed to get incinerated, and thus he did get incinerated. So that is Shockma. It was a fun movie. It's on Netflix if you're interested in watching it.
It's definitely worth a watch. I enjoyed it.
So I think that's going to wrap it up. Well, I'm going to take a lesson from Shockma that Shockma didn't take itself and not
draw this out as long as humanly possible.
Yeah, not make things longer than they should be. So the next movie we'll be discussing is another Netflix movie called The Black Klansman. And it's a 1966 blaxploitation film about a light-skinned African-American whose daughter is killed in a church firebombing. And since he's pretty light-skinned, he's light-skinned enough to join the KKK to get revenge. And he does, but somehow he ends up getting in a fight with mobsters, so he ends up fighting with the KKK. It looks really ridiculous.
Oh, the wonderful taste of irony.
Yeah, so that's The Black Klansman. That's what we'll be watching next. To participate in that discussion or to have a comment on any of the films we've watched, you can always email me at mimekiller@gmail.com. This has been Mysterious Streams. Hope you have a great day.